happens here in the mountains a lot, and that's with religion. They use religion to try to change you from being gay to heterosexual. So I got into this religion business. I was baptized in every church. You name it, I was there, I was baptized. I had 15 people hold me down on the floor and get the demons out of me. And they said, stand back, there comes the demon of homosexuality. I got up and I seen the prettiest man I ever seen in my life.
On this episode of The Commercial Break.
After that talk up,
I know.
It's going to be a terrible disappointment when you hear this. All right, here we go.
Loveless 96.7, The Legend. It's another late night. Thanks for being with us. Here is Conway Twitty.
Hello, darling.
Yeah, that doesn't even sound like you.
It doesn't.
There's T.G. Shepherd for you. Only one you. Yes, there is. Only one me. Thank you very much.
You slid that in there.
Oh, my God. This is terrible.
Hey, 96.7 Legend is Ryan. It's 96.7 The Legend. This is Ryan.
Yes.
Conway Twitty.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
2:30 in the morning!
Yeah, cats and kittens, welcome back to The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Green. This is my dear friend and the co-host of this show, Chrissy Joy Hoadley. Best to you, Chrissy.
Best to you, Brian.
Best to you out there in the podcast universe. How the hell are you? Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
All right. Who am I talking to? A piece of exciting news today that I shared with you earlier, but I'll let the audience clue them in on this, and maybe we'll get to it later on. My in-laws are in town, and my father-in-law is here, and he got a new computer for his birthday, and he's very excited about it, but he's got to transfer from one computer to the other computer, and he's got to offload some stuff. So he says to me on a car ride this morning, hey, do you have a gig stick, like a USB?
Yeah.
A USB storage stick. And I'm like, I'm sure I do. I've got boxes and boxes and closets full of wires, equipment, microphones, stereos that I will probably never use in my entire life. Much like my Dick Tracy collection. I will never look at it again in my life. But for some reason, I feel emotionally attached to it. And it must stay here in this room. So that at any given moment, I can go back to 1989 and get a gig stick out, right?
Yeah.
I say, yeah, I probably do somewhere. Let me go take a look. So we get back, and a couple hours later, he reminds me. I come in the studio, and I start looking where I might think these things might be. It took me about a half an hour. I found a couple different gig sticks, but it looked like they were broken, cracked. I knew one of them had some information on it that I need. That at some point, I'll probably never need also.
Right, because it took you 30
like
minutes
paperwork
to find that
from
box.
Three businesses ago, right? Yeah. I might need that. Who knows? I might need an email from 1982. So I say, so I keep digging, and then I find a gig stick, and it's rather innocuous. It's black. It says 4 gigs on it. And I go, oh, okay, I'll give him this one. Let me clean it out. Plug it into the computer, and up pops 48 different audio files, all of them from my time at WWLG 96.7 The Legend.
Uh-huh. I remember those
in
days.
South Atlanta, 2007, 2008, when I was doing radio here in Atlanta. And I say here in Atlanta, I mean a 4-square-mile radius south of Atlanta.
Yeah, it didn't
on a small stick. That's right. I found files that I was keeping every time I would go on air. I would record the what they call air check. So it would play on the radio, and then the radio station would record it and keep it for 30 days in case anything happened. Like Brian made some boner, you know, had some boner conversation about a boner, and they needed to go back and listen to it. They would keep it for 30 days. And as a jock, as someone who was on air, you could go into their system and you could pull the air checks.
Yeah.
I'd pull them. I'd save them to a CD, Chrissy, a blank CD. And then I had like 30 of those CDs. And at some point in 2010, 11, 12,
when the technology advanced,
I upgraded to the gig stick. And then it has traveled with me ever since. I have never looked at this. I have never listened to it. since I used to have a CD player in my car. Sometimes I would pop the CD in to listen to the night before's air checks because I am so egotistical that I needed to hear myself again. What did it sound like on air? Probably what it sounded like in the studio, Brian. Exactly like that. But let's listen again. Listen to how hilarious you were last night talking in and out of classic country.
It was classic country.
You hit the post on that one, Brian. You hit the post. So I have all those air checks, 48 of them, including my time with Cam, when I was on there with Cam, my time solo, and my time when I was voicing a station in Chattanooga for a period of time up there. So,
do you have the Olympics one that I jumped on there with?
I haven't gotten through all of them, but I believe the Olympics one is there, yes, because one of them is labeled Olympics. But I started going through each one of them before you came today.
Yeah.
And I only got through like 12 of them. So I decided, let's start easy. Let's start with Brian's just regular air checks. When he first gets on air, he's talking in and out of songs, giving the weather, trying to make general conversation about Atlanta. I sound like a real fucking knob. I mean, a knob. All right, girl pop, I'm telling you right now, this sounds like shit. We'll, at my expense, we'll have yet another laugh. And
I love that you found this.
It's unbelievable. It's like digging up gold. It's digging up gold. For a guy who does nothing but talk on the microphone all day long for a living, it's like gold to find those early days when, I mean, this is like the first time besides another radio station in Atlanta that I worked for at for like a day. I mean, literally like a couple of days. This is the first time I was ever professionally on a microphone. And by professionally, don't think it means I got paid because I did not get paid.
No, you didn't.
It just means I was officially supposed to be in the studio talking. So we'll get to that.
You were a little baby.
I was a little baby jock. I was a little baby jock. A little Brian Jack. My voice sounds so weird. I don't know. The microphone's overmodulated or something. Hey, I'm Brian. It does. We'll listen to it, but I don't want to give all the secrets away. Did my son? Oh, no, he didn't. I was like, did my kid take my? He did. A little. I'm going to.
Well. You're listening to 97.7.
It's overmodulated. I sound high pitched. We'll get to it.
But I can't wait.
First, I got to tell you something. I haven't told you this yet. We just got back from Florida. We all got back from vacation, took a week off. Astrid and I went to Naples with my family, my kids, all 30 of them, my in-laws, both of them, and then Gustavo. And Ale,
Gustavo.
I do like that song.
It is a good song.
Gustavo. So Gustavo and his fiance Ale flew out and met us for just a day, for 2 days. And so the grandparents, Daniel and Aurelis, they say to us, hey, kids, we'll take the kids. You kids, go out and be kids.
Go have some fun.
An adult fun. And I had never, even though I'd been to Naples before, I'd never been to downtown Naples.
Mm-hmm.
So
beautiful.
I Fifth Avenue. So I said, why don't we do this? Everyone's talking about this online. Let's do this. Let's go walk the strip. And so we went, we parked, and we went down the strip, and we had some ice cream, and we, you know, just generally shot the shit and looked at all the beautiful restaurants and art and $50 million, you know, real estate listings. And, you know, we just had a good time. It was crowded. It was hot as shit, but it was crowded. It was a scene. It was a whole scene. Yeah, it's kind of family friendly-ish, but mostly just rich people. A lot of European folk, a lot of Italian folks. I noticed a lot of Italians talking, a lot of Spanish people from Spanish, and a lot of Russians. I also noticed a lot of Russian accents or Eastern European accents. Uh-huh. I don't know if they were Russian, but a lot of interesting stuff to look at, to see, to do. A lot of very nice restaurants, a lot of beautiful cars, a lot of beautiful people walking around in their, you know, $1 million dresses and their very nice handbags. And there's one place down there, and I forget the name of it, like Molly Sue's, you know, Spazzeria, or I don't know what it's called. It's like a clothing shop on a corner.
Okay.
And that clothing shop, the clothes that they are selling can only be described as rich white woman Naples. Uh-huh. That's it. wild outfits, like real fox, you know, a scarf, like a scarf that's actually a fox with a head on it, right? And a flower sundress with a, you know, turquoise belt and 5-inch heels. It's like the weirdest combination of clothing. And they have these window dressings, like almost like Macy's, but someone's taking acid. It's not good. I don't know what's going on in there, but it's not great. Maybe it's best that I don't remember the name of the place. I don't want to offend anybody. It seemed to be pop. We went back the next day for ice cream again in the middle of the day, and it seemed to be a popular place to go. But in the window, they had a little baby doll, like one of those freaky baby dolls from the 50s. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about? I sent you a picture of it. It's like a freaky baby doll, had the same type of clothing on, big poof on hat, you know, a lay around it, like a Hawaiian lay around it. And then it was sitting inside of a goose. That's the weirdest thing.
It was. I'd ever seen in my entire life. Of that.
I said, yeah. I said, Chrissy, I forgot my wallet, but next time I'll get a baby doll and a goose. I'm sorry. So
it was bizarre.
We're there for a couple of hours and we have some fun. And then, and we're talking about the wedding. You know, they have the upcoming wedding, which is very exciting.
Which is what, next summer?
Next spring, I believe. Possibly in Europe. We'll see. I don't know. That's looking that way. So in Spain.
I might be tagging along for this.
You might get the invite, actually. Mm-hmm. Actually, I'm sure you're going to get an invite, but you know whether or not you choose to come is up to you.
Oh, I'm coming.
Oh, you are? Okay, yeah. Good. That's going to be fun. That'll make for some good episodes. So we wrap up the conversation. We have some fun. We grab the car. We're on our way home about 5 miles down the street toward the beach. And Astrid says to me, we need to get milk for the kids, and we're out of water. Because when you go to beach communities, you get beach water. Mm-hmm. And beach water always tastes different because sometimes it's desalinated. I don't know. It's something about the filter. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I do.
You want bottled water. So we've been drinking bottled water. We're out of water. So we go to the Publix. It's closed. Because, of course, it's after 8:05, right. And no one opens anything after 8:05 except for the restaurants and bars down there. And so we're driving down the street looking for a CVS or something, and I see there's a Walmart, like a small Walmart, and it's open. Okay, pull in there, and Ale, Gustavo, and Astrid are in the middle of a heated conversation about the wedding in Spanish, so I park the car, and I say,
I'll run in.
Mm-hmm. I could take a break from this. I need a break from all this jibber-jabber. Let me go in. I go into this Walmart. Again, it's a small Walmart. It's not just groceries like some Walmarts are. It's groceries plus some other sundries, but it's not very large. It's like the size of a small Publix. That's what I would say. But it's got the groceries. So I walk in. I immediately notice that there's not many people there at all, except for the employees, of which there's only a few. And I go down to the groceries, and I'm in the looking for the freezer section. I'm looking for the water section, but I'm passing the freezer section, and I say to myself, you know what? I'll get some ice cream for the kids tomorrow when they wake up.
Yeah.
Not when they wake up, but tomorrow, you know, the hot day, they'll want some ice cream. And for us, let me put some ice cream in the freezer. And so I turn the aisle and I go to the ice cream. And here's the scene. Guy and a girl, two girls, excuse me, an older lady. And I say older, probably in her 50s. And a girl probably in her late teens, early 20s. And they are standing near a full basket of groceries, and they are looking at a phone together. One phone. They're looking at a phone. And they are talking in Spanish, and whatever is playing through the phone is in Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's – my assumption is they're listening to a comedian, possibly on Instagram or TikTok. Okay. Then over near the ice cream, on the other side of the aisle, like on the other – where the – you know, facing the freezers, is a guy – who's like looking at the ice cream selection. My assumption is mom, daughter, dad looking at the ice cream, girls wasting time on Instagram. I'm just sizing it up.
Assessing the situation.
Aware of my surroundings, mm-hmm. right? I size it up real quick. I determine there's no danger. And I look at the ice cream. You know, that's what you do, right? You got to understand what's going on around you. And I start looking at the ice cream also. So I'm like two or three, four freezer doors down, but the girls are almost right behind me. And I'm looking, and I'm listening, I'm not like passively listening to the Spanish going on in the background, making out a few words here and there. And then I open the freezer. As I go to open the freezer door, my ears tune in immediately to what I understand to be coming out of that phone speaker, my own fucking voice.
No.
Yes. My own fucking voice. Now, those of you that keep a keen eye on the Instagram, which is not many of you. It's more of you, but it's not many of you. Those of you who keep a keen eye on our Instagram will understand that the Instagram kind of goes crazy every time I talk about Venezuela and a reel is cut up.
True.
And it goes crazy with our Venezuelan fans, who I think are mostly on Instagram. But they're there, and there's a lot of them. And I often talk about Venezuela since my wife is Venezuelan and all my in-laws are Venezuelan. My friends are Venezuelan. So I often talk about Venezuela or what I know about Venezuela, my perspective. And I recently, or we recently put out a reel, and that reel did the same thing that every other Venezuelan reel does, is it brings a bunch of new followers and it gets a bunch of views and a bunch of comments and a bunch of likes, and a bunch of shares. Shares. That's 20,000 shares. That's a lot of people sharing. Famous Venezuelans, Venezuelan reporters, Venezuelan actresses, actors, models, entrepreneurs, you name it.
Life coaches
galore, yoga instructors, real estate agents, you know, people with large followings that share our stuff thousands and thousands of times, which is what you want on social media. And thank God for the Venezuelans, because I think we've had a collective 6 shares of any of the other material.
Yeah, no one else
is doing it. No. What's up with you guys? Come on, let's go. So as I'm opening the freezer door, I hear my own voice and I'm like, I'm frozen in the freezer aisle. I'm frozen as I hear my own voice and the most recent reel that we put out. Mm-hmm. And I am like, oh, that's my reel.
Yeah.
And then I stand there for a second and then I listen as the reel plays about a minute and some change long. And I open the freezer, I grab whatever ice cream's in front of me, and I close the door, and then I hear it again, starting again, as the two ladies are laughing and giggling, and I think generally agreeing with whatever I am saying. But I am so mystified as to what's going on that the only reaction that I had was to run out of the store. I literally left the store without getting – I didn't leave the store altogether. I paid for some stuff. But I paid for whatever was in my hand.
Turned around and said, "Yes, that is me. Were you wondering?
That's me. Yeah.
Were you wondering? Because I'm right here."
I didn't. And Gustavo said the same thing. Why didn't you turn around and tell them who you were? And I was like, "Are you kidding me? Like, no." As you listen to this show, and if you know me, I've been noticed a couple of times. Mm-hmm. I've even heard someone listening to our show out there in the wild at a Kroger.
Behind the dumpster.
Behind the dumpster. The pharmacy section of a Kroger. Someone was looking through the dumpster of the pharmacy section of the Kroger and they were listening to our show.
That tracks.
That's what tracks. I don't mind being noticed. If you want to come up and say hello, cool. But I'm not going to call attention to myself.
Yeah, no,
I'm just not going to do it. First of all, I don't really know if you agree with what I'm saying. It's not particularly political, but anytime we put out something about Venezuela, two things happen. Number one, we get a lot of likes, a lot of shares, a lot of new followers. But number two, we also get our fair share of people who want to give me a history lesson on Venezuela since 1902 to the current state of times. I'm not trying to give a history lesson on Venezuela. I'm trying to explain my perspective as an American married to a Venezuelan and what I understand about the country from my interactions with my Venezuelans, with the people in my immediate circle. I'm not trying to give a dissertation on fucking Venezuela and socialism. So I'm like, what do I do? You know, my brain is like, what do I do? I close the freezer door. I have a box of Snickers frozen candies, frozen treats in my hands. And I run to the water section. I grab the water. I forget the milk or whatever I forgot.
Oh, you forgot the milk.
I forgot the milk. And I check out. And I come back to the car, and I am speechless. Like, speechless for the first minute. Like, Astrid's like, what is wrong, Brian? And I'm like, I don't even know what to say. I don't even know how to explain this. I don't even know what to happen. It completely blew my fucking mind.
Right. It just caught you off guard.
It kept me awake for an extra hour, tossing and turning, wondering, did those ladies see me, then say, is that him? Should, you know, and then go to the reel to look to connect the dots, right? Oh, it is him. But in my mind, there was never enough time for that to happen, walking down an aisle. And I don't even think they were looking at me. Right. I don't really remember, but I don't think they were looking at me. Or is it just such a strange fucking coincidence that these two ladies saw my reel while I happened to be standing in front of them in the freezer aisle because it's been shared quite a bit?
Mm-hmm.
Did it just get shared to them in that moment? Or were they looking at it because I don't know. I don't know what the answer to that is.
Well, it could have been a combo of both.
Could have.
Because they could have just, you could have just happened upon them already watching it, and then they played it again to see if it was you.
You might be right about that. That's, it's very, I don't know what they would have gotten from the back of my head, but, you know, maybe they saw me coming walking down the aisle, right? I do have kind of an ugly mug, and if you saw it once, you might not forget it. But I am telling you, for the rest of the trip, there's one thing you should know about South Florida. It's filled with Venezuelans. It's filled with Venezuelans. And those beaches, the public beaches down in Naples, are filled with Venezuelans. We were like pointing them out. They were like in large packs of family. It's hard to miss. The Venezuelans, they stick together and they all party all day long. And they are sometimes boisterous.
They're my kind of people.
My kind of, yes. they're your kind of people too. They're our kind of people.
Yeah.
They're boisterous. They're fun loving. They're prepared. They have like, you know, a grill and 5 pounds of meat and some extra prawns in case someone shows up, and they've called everybody and their mother and every cousin, uncle, aunt, nephew, niece, dog, cat, and small animal in the greater metropolitan Naples area that ever had any interactions with them is family, and they're going to come by.
Mm-hmm.
So we saw large groups of them hanging out around us while we were in Naples. And for the rest of the trip, every time I identified that there was a Venezuelan somewhere around us, I felt like they were looking at me. Like, I felt like they were looking at me. I got a little weirded out. I was like, oh, do they know I did that reel? Are they happy with the reel? Are they just sad with the reel? I am so involved in myself, Chrissy, that I can't imagine that anybody would be here on this beach that's Venezuelan and not know who I am.
Exactly. It spread like wildfire.
It was a freaky experience. It was a freaky experience. So get ready. Yours is coming. I've had 4 or 5 now, maybe. Yours is coming. Your day is going to come when you're walking at a grocery store, you're at a Starbucks, you're somewhere, and someone's going to go, hey, are you the lady that puts up with Brian on the commercial break? And you're going to have your response ready.
The what?
The huh?
The what?
What is that?
Yeah.
Podcast. Nah, I don't listen to podcasts. I don't know what you're talking about. I listen to the radio. I'm a radio kind of girl.
Yeah.
Speaking of radio, one of the only listeners left of radio is one of the world's most famous musicians. His name is William Bill Joel. And he's had an interesting run for the last 2 weeks. I think you've probably been tuned. Have you been tuned into the Billy Joel?
I have. Well, I watched that first part. I have not watched the second part yet, but I will.
I've watched it all. And I've watched the Club Random, Bill versus Billy, or Bill with Billy, Bill Maher with Billy Joel, interview, and I have some thoughts.
Okay.
We'll be back.
Let me do something Brian has never done. Be brief. Follow us on Instagram at The Commercial Break. Text or call us 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. Visit our website, tcbpodcast.com, for all the audio, video, and your free sticker. Then watch all the videos at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak. And finally, share the show. It's the best gift you could give a few aging podcasters. See, Brian? That really wasn't that difficult now, was it? You're welcome.
Okay, so you got the first part of the documentary, the Billy Joel
documentary. Which is really good.
It is. It's quite good, actually.
I didn't know a lot of the stuff. You know, you just kind of, I grew up with him, and back in the tabloid days, you know, there was always the tabloid stuff. And of course, the famous video with Christie Brinkley, whom he married and had kids with. But yeah, I kind of knew that part. I didn't know really about the first wife. It was very instrumental in his career.
I knew that he was previously married. not to Christie Brinkley, but I also grew up in the, I mean, I came to like understand music and love it and be around it and, you know, in a more like, I guess, intimate way, touchy feely. You know, I went to third base with music back in the 80s, basically. Yeah. And I hit a home run in the 90s with 33 penis.
When you yourself became a singer.
I myself popped my own cherry and got on stage and fell directly off.
I wish there was video.
I'm sure there's got to be. Well, I don't know. No one had cameras. Not every person had a camera in their hand at that time. But there must be somebody who videotaped some of it or was there or saw it. I mean, there are only 12 people there. But that's 12 people that are out there in the world that saw that that night, including one guy who backed up physically from me as I fell. He wasn't going to catch me. Who's that guy? I want to hear from that dude. Billy Joel, born in the 50s, started rocking in the 60s with a couple of bands that had some local notoriety. I'm going to let you watch the documentary, actually. I'm not going to go through the whole thing. But in the 70s, Billy really started to come out with some hits. Mm-hmm. The Piano Man, we can go on and on. A list of hits. My parents listened to the station, the soft rock station, the pop station, when I was growing up in Chicago. That was playing a lot of these Billy Joel songs. Piano Man is a song you will never forget. Every generation has heard it. Every generation will hear it. It's like Beethoven's Ninth Symphony. Piano Man will be played forever and ever. And it's like the girl from, I think Dixie Chicks said, or maybe it was Pink, I can't remember, in the documentary, they said, when Piano Man comes on, everybody knows what they're doing for the next 5.5 minutes.
Yes.
They're singing Piano Man.
Pink.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
They're singing Piano Man because Piano Man is a brilliantly orchestrated, beautiful song with a story to tell.
That whole album is great.
It's great.
We ended up listening to it the next day.
One of the first CDs that I owned was Billy Joel's Greatest Hits, Volume 1 and 2, the double album with, you know, everything from Captain Jack to Piano Man to all that. And I would listen to it incessantly because I loved Billy Joel. I just loved Billy Joel. And he is a brilliant musician with a very sordid story, like of most musicians, most artists. He is a tortured artist. He had a complicated growing up. He wasn't particularly educated, grew up pretty poor. And just had the ear. He had the magic. He had the talent. Mm-hmm. He had a way to take what was in his head.
He had it.
In so many different ways. Mm-hmm. And he had hit after hit after hit after hit until he stopped recording new music. He had hits. All of them. Billy is amazing. And this documentary is not particularly stylistically my favorite documentary. But it is a step-by-step, A through Z, Billy Joel.
Mm-hmm.
From chronologically from the beginning to the end, or from the beginning to today. And I thought it was lovingly done, and his music tells the story, largely, right? Which is great. You see his music, you hear his music, you see him playing it live.
And you hear the story behind some of it.
Behind most of it. He goes through every album, and he talks about what was going on at that time, and what's happening, and how that... what was happening in his life was affecting the music and why he was writing these songs and what this song was about, what that song was about. And he's very honest about it. I stole this from this guy. This was supposed to be like this. I wrote this story about this lady. The producer told me to do this and I did it. He doesn't try and hide behind some sheet of ego that everything was magically came to him because he's the only one who could ever do it. He tells you, I just play what I hear. I just, you know, I write what I write. And I loved it. I loved all 4 hours of it or whatever it is.
It's a long
documentary. And so because I watched it while I was gone, I actually watched some of it while we were driving home. But, you know, okay, all right, whatever. I listened to it more than I watched it, but you get what I'm saying. It was on in the car. And then I saw that Bill Maher had an opportunity to sit down with Billy, and they did like a one-on-one.
Billy, recently,
5-6 days ago, 7-8 days ago, as this airs, Club Random, his video podcast, put out this one hour and 20 minute interview with Billy Joel. I have never in my life, never, seen an interview that is such a train wreck ever. And I like Bill Maher. And I like the fact that he says the hard stuff sometimes. And I don't agree with everything he has to say. There's a lot of stuff I completely disagree with him on. But I like that Bill Maher has always been relatively straight shooter.
Yeah.
Says what he thinks. Doesn't care if you like it or not. He's always been that way. And I like his HBO show. I think it's interesting. I like that he has all these different opinions and voices that come on. I don't love that he went and sat and had dinner with Trump. That's not my favorite thing in the world. I think he probably could have drawn the line. But I get where he was thinking, you know, oh, why are we all going to be mad at each other? Let's sit and have dinner. Well, I can name a few reasons, but okay. All right. Bill and Billy sit for 140 minutes. I mean, excuse me, for 80 minutes. I'm doing math wrong. One, scary, the one minus six. They sit for 80 minutes. Chrissy, if Billy Joel talks for 10 minutes of that 80 minutes, I would be surprised if it's a full 10 minutes.
Really?
Bill Maher comes on and tells Billy Joel what a musical genius Bill Maher is. It is the most ridiculous interview I've ever seen in my life of a living fucking legend. It doesn't matter that the documentary covers a lot of ground. There are so many questions that are born of that documentary. I've been accused of the same thing. Go watch the Kathleen Madigan video and read the comments below it. People think it's just that Kathleen's interviewing me and that I'm doing all the talking. Maybe true, maybe not. Maybe I've been guilty of this a couple times with some of our celebrities. Certainly guilty of it with Chrissy. But I will tell you right now that if you watch just 10 minutes of this Bill Maher interview, you will be shocked. Shocked at how Bill Maher handles this interview. It is amazingly bad.
Oh. Maybe he was nervous.
He's high.
Okay.
Bill is always high. That's his thing. That. He's high, he's drunk, and he's smoking cigars. Meanwhile, Billy Joel has a vape in his hand the whole time. Bill Maher is smoking a cigarette or a cigar in there.
Well, didn't Billy, something just came out too with he's got like hot brain or something.
Water on the brain.
Water
encephalitis.
On the brain.
Yeah. And that's the only good part of the interview is that Bill Maher asks, are you okay? What's mm-hmm. going on?
Yeah.
And he says, I'm getting better. I think I'm getting better. I think I'm going to be okay. But I have hydrocephalus of the brain, which is water on the brain, which they used to believe came from extreme drinking.
Mm-hmm.
And then it would cause dizzy spells, sort of confusion, you know, knocking into walls, stuff like that, right? I think that it was like unaffectionately referred to as a dry drunk a lot of times. But Billy said to Bill that the doctors don't believe that's always the case now, like that this can happen to people that it has nothing to do with drinking. And Billy Joel has been dry for a long time. Like he had a real problem with alcohol.
No, he did. In fact, one of the books that I read, that it was like the days in the life of a private plane.
A pilot?
No, the
purser?
Attendant.
Yeah.
Yes, a private plane attendant. And she had said that she meets Billy Joel on a private plane, you know, was serving him drinks, and he is just hammered. And she, you know, gave him the drink. Of course, you get whatever you want.
Sure.
On those. But then like 2 weeks later, she sees him on the plane coming back from where he was, and he was totally sober. So apparently it was the manager explained to her that he does 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off.
Oh.
Of drinking, like just hardcore drinking and then two off.
Oh.
That was this in this book.
Wow. We've had a few friends that have tried that.
Yeah.
Hey, whatever gets you by. I mean, I'm not here to judge anybody else's lifestyle. I did 20 years on, 10 years off. That was that was where I went with it. But it's worked. All right, it's working. I can't say I'll never pick up the drink again. I mean, I'm certainly not opposed to having a drink.
Well, especially not when we're old. We've already decided.
Oh,
I'm
going hardcore. I'm going hard drugs. I'm going smoking crystal meth. I'm doing that trank everyone's talking about.
Yeah.
I'm going to start shooting trank. Listen, Billy is a walking encyclopedia of pop music history. You must ask Billy the questions and shut the fuck up. I mean, Bill Maher's never going to shut the fuck up. He's a talker. I get it. I hear you, brother. I'm with you, brother. Okay? But even I would just want to hear the answers to the questions.
Right.
He kept interrupting him.
Oh, no.
He asked Billy was sitting at the piano and like he's compulsed to do, he started playing at one point, at some point, and Bill would talk over him and interrupt the talk.
Oh my God.
And then Billy asks, do you want me to start singing this song? Yeah. Like, should I start singing it? Like almost asking like for some editorial direction. Like, should I sing this song? And Bill doesn't even miss a beat. He just talks more. He doesn't even answer the fucking question. When Billy Joel is sitting in front of you with a piano and starts to play, the answer to whether or not you should sing is yes. Always. Not more about you. Now back to me, Bill Maher.
Oh my God, I've got to watch this.
Oh, you have to. Everybody has to watch this. And I need to watch it over and over and over again and remind myself of what not to do during an interview. I mean, God damn, Bill. I'd love you like a brother. But honestly, you fumbled this one so badly, it's not even funny. This is a terrible
That's unfortunate.
Interview. He walks in, and the first thing he says is, well, I wrote you a letter because I wanted you to know as a creative art, you know, as a writing major, you know, whatever, English lit major that... You write stuff that I can relate to without the music or without the music. Do you like pop music? Do you listen to pop music? And this starts a long diatribe where Bill Maher has to prove to Billy Joel how much he knows about pop music and how great he is at explaining why we all love pop music. It's fucking so it's bloviating. That you want to look up the word bloviating? I don't even know what it means. But if I did know what it means, it would be what Bill Maher did to Billy Joel. And this is enough, we should never let him handle another living legend. But go somewhere, go to Stern. You know, like Stern, don't like Stern, you know, agree with him, don't agree with him, I don't care. Billy Joel has sat down with...
I love Stern.
With Stern.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's great. He sat down with him a number of times because they are friends. They're like actually friends. They go to each other's houses for dinner, according to, you know, Howard on the radio, not because I personally know Howard and I've talked to him. But when he has come in, he's got a piano or a band, and Howard takes him through some of the music that Howard likes. Uh-huh. Can you explain to me what this song is about? Can you explain to me what you were thinking? Where was your head at this moment? How did this get produced? What was the story behind this? Can you play the song? Billy plays the song, and Howard shuts the fuck up until the song is over, and then Howard asks another question. And yeah, maybe I don't love all the questions that Howard asked, but at least he gets some information. Yeah. At least he lets him go. He lets Billy talk. I mean, Billy's an interesting guy.
He is. He's led an interesting life.
It's kind of a big deal in music. Yeah. Like, you got to let the guy fucking talk. And then Bill's like, I don't get it. Why'd you go on tour with Elton John? I mean, I don't get it. I don't get when one person who's got so many hits goes on a tour with someone else who has so many hits. I mean, don't you just want to like... play your own song. You have all the hits. It's like an embarrassment of riches. I don't understand it. Why did you do it? And I'm like, because it's two fucking living legends getting together to please the audience. And then Billy's like, because I got to play some of Elton's music with him. Like, I wanted to do something different. And
this is really bothering me.
It made me so angry. Yeah. There were people that were like out there putting clips and, you know, I saw... Tim and Eric from Tim Heidecker from Tim and Eric Awesome Show, great job, does this show, this live show on YouTube, and they like broke down the video, broke down the podcast, which I won't do. I'm not breaking down other people's podcasts. I'm just not going to do it because I don't want to be one. I don't want to be subjected to it. But he broke down the podcast like we break down a Pauly Couch Cushions video, and I'm telling you what, it was fucking hilarious. But one. I didn't get 3 minutes into that breakdown video.
So it's a thing other people are talking about.
You should be talking about it. Mm-hmm. We should all be talking about what a national treasure Billy Joel is and how this should go in the Library of Congress of what not to do when near Billy Joel. Don't talk to him like this. Let him fucking go. God damn it, Bill Maher.
Yeah, that's frustrating because I don't know what other press really he's doing around this documentary.
I'm sure he'll go to Stern or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I get it. Like, Bill Maher's on HBO, the documentary's on HBO. Maybe there was an agreement that we're not gonna unpack a lot of the stuff that's in the documentary. Let him go watch it. Like, can we not, you know, go over the same old ground? But even if you told me, Brian, 1 hour with Billy Joel, but I don't want you to ask anything. Like, I don't want you to go the same place where the documentary went.
Yeah.
I think I could still find an hour of conversation.
Definitely. There's plenty of room.
Yeah. I'd ask Billy, how was it being married to Christie Brinkley? And let him talk for an hour. That's it. And Christie Brinkley is in love with Billy Joel. You can tell, like, by the way that she talks about Billy, she's still.
Yeah, well, she sent him a message when he came out with his diagnosis and said, we love you. We're all thinking about you, the kids and I.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a weird but, like, huge marriage. Everybody was talking about those two.
Uptown Girl.
Uptown
she
Girl.
She was the Uptown Girl.
Not my favorite Billy Joel song.
No.
I don't love it.
But
that video.
The video is great.
Played every 3 minutes on MTV for 2 years. It really did. Uptown Girl. And then what was the other one? What was the other one that was black and white where he was like.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah.
Where she was with him, but they weren't in the. She wasn't in the video. I can't remember. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that was a big period for Billy Joel.
Yeah.
And then he came out with "We Didn't Start the Fire."
Right.
And if that thing didn't play every 3 minutes everywhere forever.
It was.
Yeah, it's still one of the greatest songs ever. And all he's doing. This is what I like about Billy Joel is he humbly says, "I just started looking through headlines."
Yeah.
I just started looking through headlines and make them rhyme. Yeah, I mean, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. That's great. I thought this was like some, you know, soliloquy on history and what we should do and what we shouldn't do. And it's like, you know, you're telling us about none of that. It was just I was just looking for the headlines. I just looking for the headlines
and make them rhyme.
Yeah. Anyway, what I didn't know, there was a small appearance by Garth Brooks in the documentary Part 2, which you'll get to. What I didn't know is the song Shameless. I'm shameless.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a Billy Joel song.
Really?
Did you know that?
I did not.
I did not know that either. I did not know that.
Billy Joel wrote that song.
He wrote it and it's on one of his albums.
Oh.
He didn't write it. He sang it. He wrote it and sang it. And I guess Garth Brooks
covered it.
Covered
it. Made it big.
Made it huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I didn't know that. And not that I was a fan of the Garth Brooks version. Not that I'm a fan of Garth Brooks. I'm a fan of his alter ego. What was that guy's name?
What was that?
I almost did a full breakdown on this. When you were gone, when you had to take time off, Garth Brooks, alter ego. It comes up like right number one. Chris Gaines. You want to have some fun? Go Google Chris Gaines. Watch him on Saturday Night Live. It is wild.
I can't even remember what that was about. Why did he do the alter ego?
He wanted to be an emo rocker.
Oh.
Garth did. And so he came up with an alter ego. He changed his appearance completely. He like got a flavor saver. Maybe I need to revisit the materials and look. That's the front of the album.
Oh my God.
And,
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Kevin, I mean, I remember he had an alter ego, but that's
Kevin.
That looks like Chris Angel.
It is Chris Angel. That's exactly what it is. So, and Chris Angel came out years after Chris Gaines, or at least became popular years after Chris Gaines. So I'm wondering if that's where Chris Angel got his look from, is from Christopher Gaines. Kevin, put it side by side. Garth Brooks Country, Garth Brooks Chris
that's
Gaines.
Really different.
Yeah, it's completely different. And then he had the balls to go on Saturday Night Live to promote the record, the emo rock record that he did. And it is wild. I mean, it's wild. The guy is like he's pretending to be a completely different person. It's like playtime at Garth Brooks' house. It's really weird.
I just recently, not even a year ago, I think, watched a documentary about because he married Trisha Yearwood.
I do know
and
that.
They were making a restaurant in downtown Atlanta.
Yeah.
I mean, downtown Nashville.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was pretty good.
Oh,
and then
it was?
Like right after that, though, was when all the stuff came out about the makeup artist that was accusing him of inappropriate behavior.
Yeah, he like came
that's
in
gone
and
away
dropped,
quick.
Dropped his towel and
yeah,
said, "Hey,
like
you want to put makeup on my tallywhacker?"
I don't know. He
yeah,
it all.
Yeah, listen, innocent until proven guilty. But the makeup artist and okay, I don't want to get into it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have no idea. I stand with whoever. But at the end of the day, there were some really weird accusations made. by Trisha Yearwood's makeup artist, who then became Garth Brooks' mm-hmm. makeup artist. And apparently it was a scene going on there because Garth was walking around with a boner and his towel hanging off his boner. And he was like, hey.
Hanging on the boner.
Yeah, hanging on the boner. Yeah. First of all, cheers to you. I don't think I can do that. Second of all, I think the towel would fall off my boner. Cheers to you, Christopher Gaines. First of all. Second of all, yeah, it did go away pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. It all went away pretty quickly, mm-hmm. which makes me believe that certainly Garth paid some fee to either compensate her for the drama and stress that she was feeling, or to just make it go away, or both. I don't know.
Or they disproved it.
Or they disproved it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if we did a little investigating, it'd probably be that.
That's the thing with headlines these days. They just...
they go away.
Quick. On to the next thing.
Anyway. Donald Trump cheats at golf. I saw that and I was like, that is fucking awesome. Good for you, Donald. Good for you.
That's been around for a while. That he.
Yeah, but did you see the most recent when he was in Scotland?
No. Like meeting with the British... yes.
Okay,
Prime Minister?
Real quick. Ready? Donald Trump at his new resort in Scotland that no one likes and everyone hates, in Scotland at least. At least that's what I read. I don't know. I'm not there. I'm sure he has his supporters there too. He goes there, you know, because that's what a president should be doing, opening a new resort in Scotland,
yeah.
a new golfing resort in Scotland. He goes there to meet the whatever and the whatever.
Well, he was meeting the Scottish
Prime Minister and the...
And Britons, too.
Yeah. So he's playing golf, and there are people that live on the course. They have been affected by him building this course, and they're videotaping him as he's going along. He hits it. It goes in the rough. It's links golf, which means that the rough is, like, rough. It's like mm-hmm. grass that's a foot and a half tall, right? Wild grass that's a foot and a half tall. He hits it. It's obviously gone in the rough. He pulls his cart up. There are two caddies that are looking for the ball, and one of the caddies reaches into his pocket and rolls a ball, like sneakily a ball backwards, and Donald goes up and plays that ball. But there's no doubt Donald saw it. I mean, it wasn't like he did it like to help his guy out. Yeah. It was like, hey, go throw a ball up there. And then there was another one where... no, like someone's videotaping, no ball. Donald goes and stands, and then he moves his foot. He's like, they're like videotaping him from behind. Then Donald moves his foot. Oh, ball. And by all accounts, this is the worst part about it to me. Besides, like, golf is golf. You play it where it lies. I mean, okay, you want to take a breakfast ball or you're moving it because it's got mud on it. Whatever. You play how you play with your friends.
Yeah.
Right? And all of us have an unspoken agreement. I mean, if it goes in the shit, okay, drop another one, right? Or if you can't play it, all right, move it a little bit. If it's just you're going to hit a tree or something, yeah, whatever. Who cares? You're keeping your own score. The worst part about it is this is like way beyond the scope of any of that kind of like gentleman's agreement that, hey, help yourself out a little bit because you don't want to break your arm. But by all accounts, Donald Trump golfs so much that he's actually not a bad golfer.
Right.
So people are like, you're not a bad golfer anyway. Just play by the rules.
You didn't want to lose.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway, he's got $1 billion gold jet that he can hang out on. So, all right, we'll be back.
Okay, you're probably wondering why I, Rachel, have taken over the voice duties at TCB. It's pretty simple. Astrid asked me to shut Brian up, even for a minute. Well, lovely Astrid, your wish is my command. Do you want to help Astrid too? You know you do. Leave a message for her, or me, or Chrissy at 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. You can be on the show too. Mm-hmm. Just call and say something. Anything. Or text us and we'll text you right back. Promise. Then head over to tcbpodcast.com and get your free sticker. It's your constitutional right to a sticker, and we must abide. You get the point. Follow us on Instagram at The Commercial Break and watch all the episodes on video at youtube.com/The Commercial Break. Best to you and Astrid, especially Astrid.
All right, we're back live from the pizza oven known as Atlanta.
Brick pizza oven.
Yeah, and this studio is not getting any cooler, I'll tell you what. Okay, All right. So, as promised, here we go. The year is 2007, 2008. I believe this will come from 2008. I have been bugging since late 2006. Or when did we join? 2007?
It was 2007. Yeah.
Okay. Since early 2007, I have been bugging the programming director, the radio station, radio cluster here in Atlanta, which included 7 different radio stations. I have been irritating the shit out of him to please, please, please let me do some on-air work. Let me go in the studio. What I really wanted to do was go in the big rock station and do the morning show. But
they
said, no, no, you don't have the talent and we're not going to do
that. The funny thing is that now that I'm thinking about it, I would have sold advertising into your show.
You did.
Because we had the Bull, yes, which was the big country station that had newer stuff.
Yeah.
And then the Legend, and we would package them together.
Yes. Yeah, it was just like a throwaway.
It was.
Yeah. Hey, for an extra $3, you can get on 96.7 The Legend. I'll never forget someone, I don't know if it was you or who it was, sold a Comcast deal, mm-hmm, and that Comcast deal included that I go and record on I think it was called the Flip. Do you remember those like little cameras that they used to sell?
Like a Sidekick thing?
Yeah, it was just a camera, a video camera. That was all it was. Yeah. You press the button, you hit record, and then you would have to transfer it onto a computer. But anyway, they sold a Comcast deal where I did the read and then I did the video. And for that, I got like $1,200. And I just did it for 96.7 The Legend. It was amazing money. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
And then I also went down and did radio remotes at Jiffy Lubes for like $10. So whatever. You know.
We went to that one at that club. Remember, wasn't Chipper Jones there that night or something?
That's the story that I told.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
We went to the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Whatever it was, Cowboys. I think it was Cowboys.
That's what we right. We took a taxi.
We took a 3-hour taxi ride south of Atlanta to go to Cowboys. And Chipper Jones showed up to follow his girlfriend. He was married at the time, to follow his girlfriend, who I was hanging out with. But at the time, at least, I wasn't involved with this girl. And he was married, yes, by the way. But he followed her after a game all the way down to this Cowboys. And then that's the time when we got into like a disagreement. Me and Chipper Jones are, yes, sitting across the table staring at each other. And I'm like, well, you've got money and power and you're 6'7" and 310 pounds. So I think I'm going to leave now.
Yeah.
Anyway, whatever. Okay. That's neither here
nor there. All right. Back to the legend.
Back to the legend. I bug the program director. Eventually, he puts me in touch with a guy named Lance Houston, and he says, we have a radio station down in South Georgia that broadcasts to a potential of about 30,000 people in a city that has about, you know, 12 million people. It has about but the average listenership is about 1,000 people in the morning time. So this is like a tiny little station. It's called a small stick station. Got a very weak signal. It only goes so far. And it was down south of the city where classic country could be interesting to some folks.
Yes.
Right? To some older folks, essentially. And he says, we've got this classic country station. Maybe it's up to Lance, but maybe he'll let you take a time slot, like an hour here or there on The Legend. Because we don't have any jocks. We just play music.
Right. It was just programmed.
Except for the morning time when a guy named Chris East was on in the morning. Right. But even he didn't do a morning show. He just talked in and out of the songs for a couple of hours. So I go into the Big Bowl studio, this very nice professional studio with this huge 100-channel board. I mean, all the things, all the accoutrements a big professional radio studio has, like a big-time radio station has. And Lance was very nice to me. And he said, okay, here's how you start. Here's how you end. Here's what you do. He spent maybe 30 minutes with me. And he's like, and you can do, and by the way, most radio stations, you're not actually live when you hear the jocks, when you hear the people talking in and out of the music. Mm-hmm. They've likely recorded that at the very least a couple of minutes ahead of time.
Yeah.
But most of the time, it's like hours ahead of time. Like they are not doing that anywhere close to live. They're doing it an hour or two ahead of time. And then you insert it into that time period and then it plays. It's like, imagine it's whatever. You can understand, right? It's a timeline. You place it in the timeline. And then as the time comes, it plays. So he says, I want you to do just talk in and out of music. No more than 30 seconds worth of talking at any given time. Most of the time, just talk in and out of songs. I only want you to talk in and out of one, maybe two songs an hour. And you can do from midnight to 3 a.m. Yes. When I am almost positive there was no one listening. No one. I mean, it's a tiny station with a tiny audience. And the people who listen to classic country are not up at 1 in the morning doing anything. If they're even breathing, they're not doing anything. So Brian started to do this. I say Brian. I'm like talking to him in the third. I notice I talk in the third person a lot. I started to do this. And I started to do this, and I started just like Lance asked me to, 12 a.m. to 3 a.m.
But then, you would record, I remember, like right after we got off work.
Yeah, five or six at night. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then I asked for permission to move it up a little bit. Could I do like 9 to midnight? So at least there's a chance somebody
would give it a push.
Yeah, I give it a push. After a couple of months, I said 9 to, and he said, yes, same rules apply. And then a couple of months after I was doing this for a while, every weeknight, he said to me, I want you to do the same thing I did with you. I want you to do with this guy, Cameron, and bring him in the studio, teach him how to do what you do, and then he can do midnight to 3.
Was that how you guys met?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
I thought you guys were already friends before
that. No. Well, we knew each other because we were hanging around the radio station.
Okay.
But we didn't really know each other. I mean, we just knew of each other. So Cam comes in, and Cam, and I think he would admit this too, has a real like microphone shyness. He has a problem talking in and out of the songs. There's no rhythm to it. He's not understanding it. Mm-hmm. He's not getting it. The technology's a little difficult for him. So I said, hey, listen, man, let me loosen you up a little bit. Let's do a break together. I'll talk to you. Let's do a break together. And then, you know, you can kind of loosen up and then you'll get it. Well, that turned into Cam and I doing an entire show on our own called Late Night on the Legend.
Late Night on the Legend. That's right.
Now, remember the rules. 1 to 2 talks an hour, no more than 30 seconds. And almost all of them should be talking in and out of songs. By the end of this, Cam and I were doing like 9-minute breaks, talking for 9 minutes at a time. And we were taking up like, I don't know, 20, 30 minutes of an hour with conversation. And we started pushing it from 9 o'clock to 8 o'clock to 7 o'clock. We took advantage. I mean, we were just trying to get heard, and we would like inch it up every couple of days. Okay. But this is not that. This is me talking in and out of country radio. All right. Ready?
I think so.
After that talk up,
I know.
It's going to be a terrible disappointment when you hear this. All right. Here we go.
Loveless 96.7, The Legend. It's another late night. Thanks for being with us. Here is Conway Twitty.
Hello, darling.
Yeah, that doesn't even sound like you.
It doesn't.
There's T.G. Shepherd for you. Only one you. Yes, there is only one me. Thank you very much.
You slid that in there.
Oh my god, this is terrible.
Hey, 96.7 Legend is Ryan.
It's 96.7 Legend. This is Ryan.
Yes.
Conway Twitty. Conway Twitty. That's from all the cocaine. This is years of cocaine abuse. I have no nasal passages.
To Michael Martin Murphy while I give you the weather. Tomorrow, same situation as today. It's going to be hot, and then there's going to be a chance of thunderstorms late in the afternoon. Saturday, it looks like it's going to be stormy all day long. Thanks, it's the weekend.
What a beautiful...
Lance came in one day, and he's like, you got to say 96.7 The Legend, and you got to do the weather. I was like, oh, okay, all right. By the way, I this is all cut up because I just pulled the audio from it.
Fishing in the Dark, Nitty Gritty Band, late night on 96.7, The Legend, 10 in a row. Every time we start the music, little game I like to play here at the studio is called Answer the Phone and Hope Someone's Wasted.
Nitty Gritty Dirt Band?
What did I say?
Nitty Gritty Band.
Oh, I said the Nitty Gritty Band? Whatever. Close. No one was listening. It didn't matter. Okay, now, here's a preface. Eventually, this is probably three, four months after I had started doing this. So I'm at the 9 o'clock hour now, right? And I'm recording this 5 or 6 at night. Now, we didn't have, 96.7 The Legend didn't have its own phone number. because we were 96.7 The Legend. Yeah. We had the phone in the studio that I was recording in was the 94.9 The Bull studio. So if the phone was ringing, it was for 94.9 The Bull. But I would answer I started getting brave and I started answering the phone. And the phone was always ringing, by the way. There was always a light somewhere, you know, flashing for the phone. So now I'm answering the phone, right? I shouldn't be doing this. None of this is approved by management.
And guess what? I got one on the line. Hello?
Yes, can I ask you?
Hello, it's me, 96.7 The Legend.
You're kind of like a sing-songy. Like,
Well, I thought you were supposed to sound like on the radio.
On the radio, yeah.
Oh, what's going on?
Question.
Only one.
Okay, you know how y'all have that deal on the Kenny Chesney tickets on your website?
Yes.
Do you have...
No, because 96.7 The Legend did not have Kenny Chesney tickets on the website.
Nah, that was the bull.
You told me only ask me one question, and now we're getting into the second question.
Oh, man, I'm sorry.
Do you want another surprise? I want another question?
Yeah.
All right.
Can you go to Ticketmaster at, like, Publix or something and use the same discount? Right, and it's only four, and I only need two.
You only need two?
Yes, I only need two.
You don't have two friends that are going to go with you to the Kenny Chesney concert? You don't have, like, an old boyfriend or...
Yeah. No. Brian.
What is going on? What is Brian doing in the studio?
He's being cute.
Your husband's all uptight about nothing. All right, so listen, here's what you do.
Okay.
Perfectly okay if you just buy the other two tickets and sell them down there at the show. You know it's going to sell out.
Brian's telling her to scan the ticket. Brian's telling her to do something that's 1,000% illegal in the state of Georgia, which is scalp the tickets right at the venue. Every city ordinance in Atlanta says that's not legal.
That's what I was thinking. I was telling my husband, and he was like, "We don't know nobody who listens to country music." And I'm like,
"We don't know nobody who listens to country music." I find that extraordinarily hard to believe.
We could take them there and sell them. And he's like, "Yeah, right. They're not going to be lined up." And I was like, "Trust me, people will want to see Kenny Chesney." And he's like, "Oh yeah, whatever." And I'm like, "You know, I haven't ever."
He was very popular.
He was Kenny Chesney. I think he still is popular.
Yeah.
Isn't he doing the Sphere or something?
Maybe.
I think it is.
I'm like,
have you been drinking today?
No.
Are you sure?
Yeah, but I'm just really excited about seeing Kenny Chesney, so those tickets better not sell out because I'm not going to buy them drinking till Sunday.
I'm going to Coachella to see Diplo. Oh my God. I was bored. What was I going to do?
Yeah. I'm so excited I sound drunk. I'm just kidding with you.
Are you going to give away free tickets?
Maybe. You know.
Maybe. I don't have any.
I'm not really
sure. To me.
I'm not really sure. I'm just the guy who answers the phone.
Oh, you really are?
No.
No, you're not. I hear you on the radio.
You don't hear me on the radio? Yeah. So you ain't never heard me on the radio. You're lying. You're drunk. You're lying. You can't buy four tickets. You just get your husband to buy you. You just buy four seats, and that way no one sits around you. All right. So what's your name?
My name's Margaret.
All right. So Margaret's going to do what? She's gonna buy four tickets. She's looking for two people to go with her to the Kenny Chesney concert. When is that concert, Margaret?
July 13th at 3:00 at Turner Field.
I wonder if she even knows that she was called.
I went to that concert.
What's that?
I think I went to
that
concert.
Oh, I'm sure you went to that concert. 94.9 The Bull.
Uh-huh.
I
did.
Four in a row every time we start the music. Is that how it went?
I can't remember.
All right, hold on. One more. Here we go.
It's another late night on 96.7 The Legend. It's Wednesday night. Hope you had a wonderful day today. Here's the Bellamy Brothers.
Hope you had a wonderful day today. Here's the Bellamy Brothers. Oh, my God.
This is classic.
Who else gets to listen to themselves so many years ago?
Be back with you in a minute. If I said you had a beautiful body.
If I said you had a beautiful body.
Nobody falls like a fool. That song was written about me. It's Conway Twitty and Loretta Lynn.
Y'all were pumping some Conway Twitty.
Oh, man, were we pumping? It was the same playlist. It was the same 40 songs. I knew them inside and out.
Yeah.
Well, I knew the ends of them and the beginning of them inside and out. And here I say, this is my favorite Conway. This is my favorite Loretta Lynn song. I know four Loretta Lynn songs.
Favorite Loretta Lynn song.
Hey, Louisiana woman.
Mississippi man.
We get together every time we can. And Mississippi really can't keep us apart.
C.W. McCall, Convoy. Remember the other night I was telling you about the three kids or the guys in their 20s that were trying to make it all 48 continental states in less than 120 hours? Well, I just...
Less than 124 hours? What is wrong with my voice?
Well, maybe you were trying to do a little country-ish.
I think maybe I would have strayed into like a twang every now and then. Yeah, well, you're on a country, classic country station.
Checked on them. They only got 9 states to go. Go, guys. Looks like they're going to do it.
Go, guys. Congratulations.
If you're listening.
If any of those states is South Peachtree City, if any of those states is South Peachtree City, go guys.
Let's go, guys. Oh, that's great. That is great.
I've got days of that, Chrissy, and I'm probably going to subject us all to most of it.
Oh, yeah.
All right. That's good. That's good. That's classic.
That is classic.
96.7, the legend. 10 in a row every time we started the meeting.
Is that station still around or
no? No.
What did they turn it into?
After I got kicked off the station, it turned into a regional, Mexican Tejano station.
Right.
Yeah, 96.7 Patron, I think is what it was.
Was Patron what it became? I think it was,
yeah. And then it turned into a simulcast of WGST, the AM station.
Yeah.
Because you couldn't listen to WGST anywhere south of the city. And then I think it's still around, but I think it's 90s. I think it might be 96 Rock again. I don't know.
I'll look it up.
Yeah, look it up. Let's see what's going on with the legend. We all want an update on 96.7 The Legend. By the way, not a single reference on the internet to 96.7 The Legend. I looked.
Really?
No one remembers it because no one was listening. So there you go. All right, tcbpodcast.com. That's where you go to hear all the audio, watch all the video, or get your free TCB sticker. tcbpodcast.com.
It's still Patron.
It's still Patron?
Yeah.
Look at that. All right, there you go. 96.
El Patron.
What's that?
El Patron.
El Patron. Which is not 100% agave, we learned in the
last episode.
Go to the website. Also, the website... on Monday, we'll turn into a place where you can go find links for merch. ShopTCBPodcast.com. That's ShopTCBPodcast.com. We'll open up on Monday, the 4th through the 18th. You can buy our limited edition exclusive TCB merch drop right there, and we hope that you do. We hope that you enjoy it. Lots of good-looking stuff for you to purchase and wear proudly around the neighborhood so people know who to stay away from. At the commercial break on Instagram, we will also be dropping some photographs of Chrissy and I in that merch. So if you want to see what it looks like, 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. Questions, comments, concerns, content ideas, reach out, touch somebody. And youtube.com/thecommercialbreak for all the episodes, including this one. The same day they air on audio. Okay, Chrissy, that's all I can do for now.
I think so.
I love you.
I love you.
Best to you.
Best to you.
Best to you out there in the podcast universe. Until next time, Chrissy and I will say, we do say, and we must say,
goodbye.